Thank you, gentlemen, for leading us in singing through worship today. I hope you have your Bibles today. If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open them to the book of John is where we're going to be today. If you're a guest of ours today, you're going to be like, oh, John's a good place. If you're a regular attender, you're going to be like, yeah, we're still in John. We actually get into John chapter 11 today, and we're cruising right through in the book of John, and I'm glad that you've been a part of First Wesleyan Church. And I want to thank you for praying for our camps. We had a number of individuals kids who went to camp. And so thank you for praying for our kids. And just pray that they would continue to be impacted by the messages and by the impact that they had, not only at our camp, but I know Rainbow Bible Ranch had some of our kids, and or at least one of our kids. And so I encourage you to continue to pray for our kids. As a reminder to you, it's like the last Sunday in July, and this week starts August. Praise God, huh? One day closer to being with God. What a great thing that is. And I know there might be some things in your pathway that you're like, I didn't get my garden quite done early enough because of the rain. And you may be thinking, man, I'm going to college. Chris, you're going to college here in a couple days, dude. Isn't that wonderful? A month. That's a couple days. Before you know it, you're not washing dishes at Pizza Ranch anymore. You're getting the syllabus and getting scared about classes. Not you. You won't get scared. But anyway, here it is. All how that's displayed in this passage. Next week, Pastor Mark is going to talk about one of the I Ams. And one of the I Ams is I am the resurrection and the life. And then on August 11, we actually have a missionary, Fred and Carol Cromer, are coming. They've been serving on the field for a number of years, and they're in their 60s, and they've actually retired, but they're going to be here, and he'll share for a little bit. But I'm going to be preaching from Lazarus towards the end of the story where he says, Lazarus, come forth. What a powerful words those were, and as I was talking with the praise team beforehand, Fred Eisenbrunn, who plays on the bass guitar, said that one of the best commentaries I heard was that he said, Lazarus, come forth, instead of just come forth, because if he would have said, come forth, everybody would have come, and that would have been, whoa, what do we do now? And so Lazarus came forth. Today's topic, though, is a bit stretching for me, and I hope it's a bit stretching for you, and there's a couple of reasons why. The first one is this. We're talking about God's glory. I don't know if you've thought much about God's glory in recent days. I think we run from event to event, to happening, to this reunion, to this birthday party, to this baseball game, to this soccer game, to the next thing, and we miss God's glory. I wonder if you've been in a certain surrounding in recent days where you've just sensed God's glory. Maybe you have been in a place where you were in His presence and you just sensed His glory. Maybe you've sensed a piece of His radiance, of the immensity of knowing God in His glory. Imagine with me the day when you step from this life into the life of eternity and you see the awesome gloriousness of God. At that point in time, just like the song, I can only imagine, you're going to be like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but you're going to see God's glory. We have glimpses of it now, though. I contend with you this morning that we don't spend enough time seeking God's glory. We spend time reading, we spend time watching Fox News, we spend time listening to the radio. We spend time out in our garden, and we miss God's glory. Maybe we don't have the opportunity. Maybe we don't look for it. But maybe you're one of those that sees God's glory in everything. You're like, yeah, that's God's got His hand on that one. God's got His hand on that. Some of you are like that. God's there, God's there, God's there, and you can just see it. And when some people get around you, they're like, no, God wasn't in that. And you're like, yes, He was. You should have seen what was taking place there. Many of us, though, our eyes don't focus on that. I encourage you to see God's glory in the life of Lazarus, not only today, but the next couple of weeks. And may God's glory be all around us all the time, but maybe we miss it. So, do you see God's glory? I want to read to you from John chapter 11. I'm going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to go through verse 16 today. Here's what it says. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. The first thing I want you to see is this. Lazarus' family was important to Jesus. Lazarus' family was important to Jesus. At the beginning of the story, Lazarus is just ill. He's just sick. But we find out who the people are. Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Here they are. Mary now was the, if you will, crazy woman who spilt a wealthy bottle of perfume on Jesus. A side note for just a moment. This tells you that John wrote it many years later. This event of her putting this oil or the bottle of perfume on Jesus doesn't actually happen in the Gospel of John until chapter 12. If you turn your page over to chapter 12, you see that Mary is anointing him with oil here. And you're like, well, hold on here. What happened here? John wrote this a number of years later, and so he put that in as an editorial comment before we get to that story in chapter 12. These ladies knew Jesus enough that they could call on him. And so they did. We want you to know Lazarus is ill. Let me say this. All of us can call on Jesus when we're ill. When somebody is ill, many of you do that. That's okay. They called on Jesus. It's also important to know that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now, when I read that, I'm like, well, he loves everybody. I mean, he's already said that in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We got that, right? So what does this mean? There must be a deeper connection here. There's I love you and there's I love you. Many of you know that. I love you. And that doesn't mean a whole lot. But when the person looks you in the eye and says, I love you, it means something different, doesn't it? And so for this time, Jesus loved them so much. And so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, what did he do? He stayed away. That's a neat response. I love you a lot, and I'm just going to stay away. I know I have the power to heal, but I'm just going to stay away for a while. What kind of response is that? That's not how we would be. If someone was ill, if someone was close to death, what would we do? Well, many of us, not all of us, many of us would drop whatever we're doing and we would go to that person. Now Jesus, he says, I'm going to wait. I wonder if that was a tough 2 days for Jesus. Think back to your life and your memory, maybe even this last week. 2 days can be a long 2 days. When you know somebody's ill, when you know somebody's sick, At that point in time, we didn't necessarily know that he was close to death. We just know he's ill. Long 2 days if you're waiting on somebody to go through death. If you've ever sat on the bedside of somebody who's ready to pass, those 48 hours can be a long time. We all handle sicknesses differently as well. Some of us in the room like to be pampered. I'd ask for a show of hands, but I really don't think we should ask for that because then, you know, I'll have to. No, some of us like to be pampered when we're sick. Some of us are like, just leave me alone. I'm going to go to my room, and when I'm in my room, you just check on me like every 4 days, and if something doesn't smell bad in there, then I'm all okay. Some immediately go to the hospital. Some of us in this room probably haven't been to the hospital in recent days because we're like, over my dead body might be something that we say, and you never show up. We all handle illness in a different way. Jesus chose to stay away at first. Jesus loved Lazarus, and if I may say this, if you look at this, they did not, if you look in the text, they did not demand Jesus to come. They didn't say, come, Jesus. They just said, we're letting you know, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Second thing is Jesus decides to visit after waiting. The disciples disagree with him. Why are they disagreeing with him? They have to go back to chapter 10, which we were just there last week. They kind of pick up this a little bit, but he's saying, the disciples saying, what are you doing? I mean, they're going to stone you there. Why are we going? But Jesus responds in this way, we're going. He also explains why they are going. Jesus says, well, Lazarus is sleeping. Well, okay. Well, then why do we need to go? So Jesus is blunt. He says, all right, he's not sleeping. He's dead. Talk about abrupt. Jesus does that sometimes with us. Have you ever had somebody that you consider as a close friend be blunt with you? Those are some interesting moments, aren't they? You're sitting with that person over coffee, you're sharing some things with that person, and they kind of hem-haw around, and they kind of, maybe you should, and then finally they say, you just need to do it. You ever had a friend like that? I mean, that's kind of like how Jesus is here. He's dead, so we've got to go help him out. Jesus sometimes can be blunt. Now, some of us are like, I like bluntness. You just give me whatever bluntness you want. I'll take it all. But I'll tell you one thing. Even in my own life, I think I'm okay with bluntness. But when you get to that area that I don't necessarily want you to be blunt about, that can be like, well, now you need to stop for a moment because that's a little too close to home. And Jesus is blunt here. He's dead. I got to go. They had called the doctors, and now they were calling the mortician. This wasn't supposed to happen. Martha and Mary say later, Lord, if you would have been here. And sometimes we have felt that way with Jesus. But God, if you would have. But God has a bigger plan. Jesus does exactly what we would do, and he goes to the bedside of the ill. He gives us an interesting response, and are there not 12 hours in the day versus 9 and 10? And what's he saying there? He's saying if we're spiritual and we can see, we see it, but if we're spiritually blind, we can't see that. Aren't there 12 hours in the day? Basically, he's saying we need to go and not worry. One who shuts his eyes to the true light not only has no light, but the light is not in him, is how one commentator says. The third thing, Jesus gives us two reasons why he is going. The first one is this, that the disciples may believe. Catch this, if you would. In verse 15, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, he's talking to the disciples here, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. Again, this is another challenging one for me from the book of John, because I'm like, these are the disciples. Of course they believe. But he's saying, I'm going to do this so that you may believe. which must mean that it's for us that we've got to believe as well. Because you're a disciple, aren't you? But the second thing is for the glory of God. This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Where was the glory of God in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, the glory of God was in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, on the mountain, in Exodus chapter 24. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Glory is mentioned several times if you go further in John chapter 13, in John chapter 14, in John chapter 17. I encourage you to look for that word, glory. But do you see how we experience God's glory from the text today? Illness and death. It starts out as illness, but it ends in death. The death is physical death. We have all been touched by death. Someday, others are going to be touched by our death. How is your death? Maybe this is kind of eerie for you, but think about it for a moment. How is your death going to affect others and that experience? In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says this, and the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I am almost certain, I mean, I'm reading in the text here, but I'm almost certain that Lazarus and his sisters had plans. I mean, they had birthday parties. They had races at Bethany Speedway on Friday night. They might have had a swim party in the Jordan coming up, but he gets ill. Well, what's the plan? Come on, Lazarus, you're not supposed to get ill. There's things to do. It seems as this illness and death never come at a convenient time. Can I get an amen on that one? Isn't that what happens? No. You can't die right now. That's not a good time to die. I've got all this stuff to do. Maybe you've had death of a dream, and maybe God is wanting to show His glory through everything. I begin to ponder this, and I don't think that God's glory is only shown in illness and death, but I begin to ponder, I wonder if God's glory is shown possibly best in illness and through death. I'll give you something to ponder on this week, and just to think of that. The glory of God can show up in many different ways. Glory is mentioned not quite 400 times in the scripture, and that doesn't include the word glorify or other variants. But God's glory can appear in physical death. Jesus' baptism was something to behold. Births are awesome, and the miracle of life. The Mount of Transfiguration was something. Jesus rising in the clouds, magnificent. Feeding the 5,000, outstanding. Now, we can assume that not all death brings glory to God. And you may assume that just Lazarus' death brings glory to God. But I wonder if all death is for the glory of God so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Let me jump back 2 weeks ago. I shared about how Jesus and how you have to believe in His name, not just the cross, not just the resurrection or the ascension, but you have to believe in Jesus. And then when you do believe in Jesus and He says, I and the Father are one, then you believe in God. And when you believe in God, then that means a whole bunch. When you believe in Him, then can His glory come through? In Psalm chapter 116, verse 15, many of you have heard this verse before, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Maybe you've heard that at a funeral before and you're like, what? What do you mean precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints? Gives glory to God. Can we see illness as something that God can use for His glory? How many of you have ever been sick? Praise God. Sometimes some of you will share some pretty tragic things happening in your life. And I utter these words, and maybe you don't take them as well as what I mean them, but I say this to you. Praise God. Because when you're going through an illness, when you're going through a death, when you're going through a tragic thing in your life, guess what happens? God can be glorified within you and through you in ways that you never, I think, would have experienced before, because you become at your weakest and at your most vulnerable. I brought with me this morning a big thermometer. Does anybody like to have a see how everybody's feeling here this morning? Everybody doing okay? I don't want anybody to die, but maybe God would bring glory through that. And there's a lady by the name of Kara Tippetts. You might remember this name. She was a lady who in March of 2015 passed away. She was married to a man by the name of Jason, and they had four children. They were serving in a church in Colorado Springs, and she discovered that she had breast cancer. She wrote a book, I've not read it, she wrote a book called The Hardest Peace, Expecting Grace in the Midst of Life's Hard. She chose to continue to walk with God as she knew what was coming and what eventually took her life. There was another lady who right around that time became a national celebrity as well, and her name was Brittany Maynard. She decided that because of her difficulties, because of her cancer, that she would take her own life. Yes, commit suicide rather than continue to suffer through cancer. Kara wrote a letter, and one part of it said this: suffering is not the absence of goodness. It is not the absence of beauty, but perhaps it can be the place where true beauty can be known. In your choosing your own death, you are robbing those that love you with such tenderness the opportunity of meeting you in your last moments and extending you love in your last breaths. I don't understand how she could do that per se. I don't know that I could be as godly as she was in those moments. But it's in those moments of our greatest vulnerability that God can shine through. And God shone through the death of Lazarus so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Let me get a little more personal to our church family here for just a couple of moments. And I hope this is okay. 1 year ago and one day ago, I went to the house of the Malins because Dwayne had passed away. Many of you remember Dwayne 1 year and one day ago, man who greeted many in our church. How does God get glory through that? That wasn't the right timing in my mind by any means. He must have gotten it wrong, right? No, God doesn't get things wrong. Throughout this year, we've had funerals for Dale Hendrickson and Carl Bleeker and Denny Wolf. Those are the right time? God's glorified through that? I believe so. In 2018, I officiated a funeral for John and then a little later for wife Ruth. In 2017, it was Roger Skyberg and Irma Mickelson and Choske Wentz and Frank Condon and Archie Wessel. In 2016, it was Honor Weicker and Bert Smith and Phyllis Blaine. 2015, I officiated the funeral of Fern Wessel and Vern Rauscher. 2014, Ella Thompson was one who I officiated a funeral for. And Keith Lesprance and Leanne Pruis, and Lillian Remington. 2013, Donna Benson, Mary Ellen Kelly. 2012, it was Anna Brown, Elmore Blaine, Erwin Eisenbraun, Laverne Millott. 2011, it was Roger Toland, and Julie Larson, and Margaret Buntrock, Terry Jonas, Pauline Purrington, and Connor Dowd. 2010, it was Benny Purrington and Maybelle Stadig. In 2009, it was Larry Marshall and Louise Aldridge. 2008, it was Don Lesprance. Those are the ones that I've officiated at First Wesleyan Church. The glory of God to be revealed through death. And when I think of those and I think of others that you have been impacted by in the last 10 years, because most of us have experienced some kind of death, God's name would be glorified. There were sad times. Or these glorious times. And here's where I think this whole story for me today is. Are we willing to go through each of those times for the glory of God? Are we willing to go through anything for the glory of God? This is where I believe sometimes it's physical death, and sometimes it's death of something else in our lives. Some of us mourn that quite a bit. But I wonder what's happening in your life right now that seems far from being glorious, that may be super glorifying to God. Maybe it's been through a death. Maybe it's been through an illness. Some of you right now, I know, are going through some illness of some kind. And you're like, God, I've asked for relief. I've asked for whatever. I don't think I've sinned, if you think of a message from a number of weeks back. I think maybe God wants to bring glory to himself through that. And isn't that when we can truly be at our best? When we're broken and we can't do it on our own. I think of basic training. They try to wear you down and break you down until you're at your weakest. I think of physical therapy following surgery. It pushes you to more. Or maybe a more simple example. You got a big crowd coming and you have this wonderful cake that you're ready to bake. And then all of a sudden it flops. It's like, oh no, now what do we do? Now that seems kind of silly. But it sure impacts the moment. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Please hear this quote from Dr. John Piper. Between the death of Lazarus and his resurrection 4 days later, his family could not see how God would be glorified in it. That would be revealed at his resurrection. Therefore, if that is where you stand today, and all of us do in some sense, not seeing clearly how God is glorified in the death of our beloved, do not judge before the resurrection. God is doing more than you know, and the resurrection will bring it all to light. In the meantime, trust him and treasure him above all things. So, does the thing in your life today, the illness, the sickness, the loss, the death, not end in death but bring glory to God? I will pray for that for you today. Would you stand with me today as we close? If you bow your heads and close your eyes, I believe that maybe God would like to speak with some of you today. Just spend a couple of moments thinking in your life, is there an illness? Is there a death? Maybe a physical death, maybe a death of a dream. And maybe you just want to state to the Lord today, it's for your glory. I don't understand. But you're in between the death and the resurrection. And God's not asking you to understand. He's asking for you to trust. And he's asking for you to do as he did with the disciples so that you may believe. Oh God, I pray for these your people today. We stand before you. We sit before you. There are some who are being affected by something in their life today, and they're They're like where we're at in the text, and it's a death. Oh God, would you bring glory through it? Would you help us to get off to the side and allow you to bring glory through it? Can imagine the mourning that took place for Mary and Martha when they knew that their brother had died. Imagine the mourning that they had when Jesus showed up and they realized, if he would have been here. Oh God, I pray for those individuals that are here today that need to trust you and believe in you. Help them as each of us walk through those moments, and may we see your glory. God, I pray that you would be with each of us, that we would see your glory all this week, and as we trust in you, that you would show us of your glory. Thank you that you allow us to be earthen vessels which carry your glory, and may other people see that in our lives as well. We love you, and we pray this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.